Blog Talk Radio.
Great evening. Welcome to Health Talk Radio. Today is Tuesday, October 31st, also known as Halloween. And we are here for another week, exciting week. It's going to be an exciting call tonight. There's going to be a lot of information shared that is going to be helpful to people. There's going to be a lot of testimony shared that's going to sow into so many people's lives. We have a big topic tonight, and really it's needed because so many people are suffering in silence because it's not a mainstream topic. It's not the cardiovascular disease. It's not the heart disease. It's not things that people see that are plaguing America. It's one of those silent killers. And so, therefore, we try to attack everything when we see it, when we hear about it, when we have stories, we have testimonies, and what we're doing. I mean, we have a wonderful system in place that most people don't ever get to hear about. Why? Because there's not enough of us spreading the message. If you leave it up to mainstream, you won't get it. If you leave it up to the medical system, you won't get it. So this is going to be, again, a great night, and we're so looking forward to it. And I just appreciate everybody calling in, everybody listening in, because now you have some ammunition, and you have a system that you can now tie back to your friends and family or even yourself if it's something that you're dealing with. So without further ado, I'm going to take a minute and go to Maryland to my good friend, my mentor, the one who keeps me grounded, the one who keeps me accountable. We work together hand in hand. We talk daily. And we're really just on this mission that Dr. Wallach has laid before us to change the world and to really help people. There's not enough of that going on. There's a lot of sick care. But there's not a lot of health care. There's a lot of telling you what your body can't do, but here's a lot of things that your body can do. All you need is the right raw materials, and the body will take care of itself. And no man is more of a testament to that than my good friend, Mr. John Bryant. How you doing?
Thank you, Donnie. I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Just super excited about today and ready to get things underway.
Well, Donald, I'm really fired up. You put together a wonderful program for tonight. And with the testimonies, I'm sure it's going to help someone that they will become more motivated to go on and take the steps needed and put the wheels in motion to protect their health. My name is John Bryan. I'm 78 years young, and I've been in the program since 2013. I have many testimonies about what this product has done for me and the journey that God has sent me on to pass this information on, to pass the truth on. Yeah, true, it's Halloween, but those are for tricks. We're feeding you the truth on how to have optimum health, how to get rid of all of the medications that you're taking, and be of benefit to those that you come in contact with, because I receive that kind of compliment all the time from people because they can see what is going on. As they say, whatever's going on the inside shows on the outside. And that's true. So I was able to see the truth and hear the truth when I was speaking to Donald Snowden Sr., who later got me motivated enough to go and check out Dr. Wallach at a conference in Annapolis. And I went to that conference, and that was the most life-changing experience that I've ever had. And it has changed my life to the point that I can now look at myself and see the youth as opposed to what people are telling me, that I can see that I'm starting to be living proof of what Dr. Wallach has been telling us. So when you have 4 years on the books, as I do, in doing the things that promotes good cells, healthy cells, then you get a new everything. You get a new heart. You get a new kidney, new liver. You get all of those things new if you put the things in the system Dr. Waller calls the secret sauces to make this happen. Now, I'm not going to take too much time, but I want you all to know that you have a dynamic individual on this phone in Donald Snowden, senior as well as Donald Snowden, junior, who is handling the call tonight, who's going to bring you some guests that will change your mind about many things. Donald was inspired by his mother to get on this path, which he didn't know where it was going to lead, but it has led to thousands of lives, and we're planting seeds all over. He said that he was in North Carolina, and that he was going to come to Maryland and get me on the phone. People all over the states and everywhere that are joining this call. And we really appreciate it. And I'm not going to take up any more time because Donald has a great program set for you. And I just want to sit back and enjoy it and hope that you all get the ultimate benefit from this call. Thank you for joining, and God bless you all. Donald, I'm turning back over to you.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, and thank you for all that you do in this fight to save humanity and to end human suffering and all the things that go on that we get to see parts of and glimpses of when it hits us really close to home. But most of the time, we don't pay attention to it. But we have such a big calling to really help and to really sow into people and love more people, because that's the only thing that heals is love and truth. Knowledge is power as long as you have the right knowledge. And the reason you know when you have the right knowledge is because the results are positive. If somebody's very knowledgeable but the results are negative, a lot of times they don't have the right knowledge. So today's topic again is Lyme disease. And I'm going to just take a little bit of time to give a little education on Lyme disease. My good friend of 20 years is going to really lay it down and give you even more than I can give you and fill in a lot of gaps as to what I can give you, because a testimony, a real testimony, outweighs anything. But every week we come on, it's my job to educate and give you the information so you can make a rational decision on how you want to handle your health, because, again, our health belongs to us. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It doesn't belong to the medical system. There's nobody we can blame about our health besides ourselves. But a lot of times we don't know what we don't know. And so we think that we're going to people or institutions or practices that are there to help us. And a lot of times we don't get the help that we're looking for. We get thrown into a cart of different things, of different prescriptions, of different tests, all running up the insurance. And with Lyme disease, it's not much of it is covered by insurance. So that's a whole nother bag of worms that we have to deal with. But Lyme disease is an acute inflammatory condition that can cause joint pain and heart and nervous system symptoms. Its name comes from a place where it was discovered, I think back in 1975, in Lyme, Connecticut. Although Lyme disease occurs in other parts of the U.S. as well as in other countries, the highest concentration of Lyme disease is in the northeastern part of the United States. Lyme disease is sometimes referred to as the great imposter because it is frequently misdiagnosed as another disease. And this is one of the travesties that's going on, because people will suffer much longer than they truly have to based on the misdiagnosis, which is what happens when you go to a system that's called a practice. And you as a patient have to be patient while they try to figure out what's going on with you, as opposed to giving the body what it needs to heal itself, not suppress itself. The cause of this particular Lyme disease that we most often hear about is the spirochete. The spirochete causes Lyme disease, and it was not really identified clearly until around 1982. The spirochete is a bacterium or type of bacterium in the same family as the one that causes syphilis. The spirochete is transmitted through the bite of a deer tick. Not all deer ticks are infected, but a good percentage are. Now, a deer does not just reside on deer. They can be on other various animals, even household domestic animals. If you have pets that go outside and they're around trees and bushes, they can, in some cases, get a deer tick on them, and they bring it back into the home. And so it's always important that if you have animals or you go through walks in the park with your animals or even by yourself, playing some sport, frisbee or something in a park, and the ball goes into the woods and you just go step in the woods just a little bit and grab it, you really have to be mindful that you just didn't get a tick on yourself. So you must check yourself when you're in the woods and you're in different places where ticks reside. Some may see Lyme as just a simple infection. However, it's much more than that. It is a real complicated disease that may involve other co-infections, especially of the parasitic pathogen. Some symptoms that people normally get, you know, your classical symptom of an inflamed area with a raised bullseye rash. The rash is usually painless, but can be stinging, and often occurs for several days to weeks after the tick bite. It may manifest in other areas besides the area where it originated. Many other symptoms can be present as well. And some are, you know, unexplained fever, sweats, chills, flushing, weight loss or gain, fatigue, tiredness. You know, those symptoms sound like the flu. And so you really have to pay attention, especially if you're out hiking or something and you come home and it's getting to the cooler months of the year and you think, oh, man, I was out there and I was sweating and I got cold and now I feel like I got flu symptoms. You know, one of the other things we should do is check our bodies over to make sure that we don't have any ticks or anything on us, because, you know, they can get in an area where we don't necessarily pay attention to, especially if you can't see it in your back and the back of your legs and different places that's hidden from your sight. You know, have your partner, mate, or friend or family member, somebody check you out just to make sure. Neurological signs include muscle cramps, twitching, headaches, neck creaks and cracks, neck stiffness, tingling, numbness, and facial paralysis, such as in Bell's palsy, mood swings, irritability, and depression, as well as memory problems can occur too. Signs are not necessarily persistent. They tend to come and go, so that a person with Lyme disease may feel severe symptoms for a week and then only mild effects for several months. And studies even involving animals that were affected with Lyme disease show that in less than 1 week after the infection, the Lyme spirochete can be inside tendons, muscles, tissue, the heart, and the brain. And so this is one of the things where we arrive at the point of how they'll give you some antibiotics to take when they have diagnosed you with Lyme disease, or even if they haven't diagnosed you yet because they're misdiagnosing you, but they give you some antibiotics to take based on your symptoms. And this is part of the reason with the insurance piece, because they gave you the symptoms. I mean, they gave you the antibiotic to cover the symptoms, but now you still have this spirochete that's ravaging and tearing up the inside of your body. And so even after that particular point of the antibiotics has wearing off, they figure, oh, you should be cured. But you're not, because you are having, and it really gets down to a dosing issue as well. But you're really having the after effects of this bite still in your body, and it continues to ravage and eat up your body. And this is why we talk about a system that Dr. Wallach has had in place for the last 40 years of how to really give the body what it needs to heal itself. But before I go that far, I want to talk about the importance of removing the tick. Once a person is bit by a tick, the longer it remains, the more of a chance there is of infection. Usually a tick must be fed for 24 hours before it will transmit infection. Most people will therefore reduce their major problems if the tick is spotted fairly soon and removed. The way is to dislodge the tick. The way to dislodge the tick is with tweezers, never with fingers. If tweezers are unavailable, protect the fingers with a paper towel. Grab the insect close to the head and pull it straight out. The tick should then be put in like cellophane and taken to the nearest health department so it can be tested. Or not really tested, but to see if it's a deer tick or not. If some tea tree oil is available, before attempting to remove the tick, place the oil on a piece of cotton and then onto the head of the tick. This will help kill the tick within minutes, making it easier to yank out and further minimizing the amount of harmful bacteria being absorbed into the system. A lot of times with these diagnoses, Lyme disease cannot be diagnosed by one single antibody test alone. Since tests give false positives or false negatives 30% of the time, and I think it's probably higher than that, but for the sake of these numbers, they're saying about 30% of the time. There also are about 10% false positive readings where the patient does not have the disease, even though the blood test says he does. And for this reason, it is best to make a diagnosis based on combination of laboratory tests and manifesting symptoms that are coming up. You can even do things like electrical acupuncture, which can tap into the spirochete's energy fields right away. The device used can also test the person's reaction to different therapies and ultimately help the individual return to wellness. So that's one of the natural ways that you can try to handle that. People can be affected by Lyme disease to different degrees depending on the state of their immune system, which is another big thing. In order to see whether or not the body has the ability to effectively fight off the spirochete, a Dr. Feldman, he began his diagnosis by taking a complete profile of the person's immune system status. Some signs of lowered immunity include frequent or lingering colds, recurring infections, sinus problems, digestive disorders, skin problems, PMS, candida overgrowth, which candida overgrowth can come after taking the antibiotics if you're highly, if you're given a really high dosage of antibiotics. Viral infections or fungal infections, allergies, and chemical sensitivities. So some of these symptoms that tax the immune system can then also make the spirochete even more harmful to the body. And the treatment most of the time is the antibiotic therapy, which is the primary treatment given for Lyme disease. Basically, four groups of antibiotics are used. And these include those in the penicillin family, the tetracycline family, the cephalosporin family, and the macrolid family. There's a controversy within the medical establishment regarding the best way to utilize antibiotic therapy in treating Lyme disease. Many doctors treat the condition with short courses of antibiotics. These physicians argue that you can get rid of the disease after a 1 or 2 week course. Other physicians say that the Lyme disease organisms can hide in the tissues for long periods of time, and that short courses of antibiotics frequently do not get to them. They feel that large doses of medicine over long periods of time, generally from 4 to 6 weeks, might be needed. The way antibiotics are administered depends on various factors. In milder cases, in the newly infected, and in people who have just got a tick bite and think they may be getting Lyme disease, it is sometimes recommended that people take oral antibiotics for a period of time. In severe circumstances or in cases that do not respond to oral treatment, antibiotics may be given intravenously. Some holistic practitioners do agree that antibiotics can be an important therapy when taken at the early stages of the disease. However, the treatment alone is not enough. At minimum, anyone on antibiotics, particularly on long courses, should be taking some type of yogurt or acidophilus supplement to prevent the overgrowth of yeast. Additionally, many other measures for destroying the spirochete and enhancing the immune system should be taken. When we talk about the diet, which is then extremely important, you want to really focus on organically grown foods that are grown in their natural form whenever possible, with an emphasis on fruits and vegetables. Some nuts and seeds as well. And if you're not gluten intolerant, of which about 80% of Americans are gluten intolerant, but if you're not, there can be certain high-level whole grains, not just the breads off the grocery store shelves, but some of your high-level whole grains can be used. When a person eats meat, organically raised animals should be the source to avoid weakening from the chemical contamination. One of the things that we found that in Dr. Wallach's particular case, and Dr. Wallach is the founder of Youngevity, and he has sued the FDA 9 times successfully. So he has 9 different health claims against the FDA for various things. When there's something that he's trying to do and attempting to do, if there's a place or somewhere in within the Federal Food and Drug Administration or the CDC that says you can't say that, or just because these are laws that we put in place, then he'll have to go normally to the FDA and sue them in federal court. But the thing, all of that, and he's won several awards. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize back in 1991 for his work. I mean, he has so many accolades, and at 78 years old, he does 300 free seminars across the country, across the world. He goes to speak at the United Nations in Brazil. He goes to speak at local governments. I mean, he's everywhere. But the reason that he has created a system, and it's not even something that he created, it was already in place. But the fact that he was a veterinarian first, before he became a naturopathic physician, was really what catapulted him. Because, of course, in the veterinarian field or in the animal industry, There's no insurance for animals. They don't give animals prescription drugs for long periods of time. They cure animals. And so him being a veterinarian, he'd seen different animals that had Lyme disease from tick bites. He's seen rhinoceroses and cows and horses and a lot of different things that have been affected with sometimes 50 and 60 deer ticks on them at one time, which would bring a large animal like that to its knees. And he was able to, they were able to find cures for those animals. He also did a big government study where they'd given him $25 million to find out how pollution affected animals in zoos versus animals in the wild, because he had done so much work with Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom, and he spent so much time in Africa, he had a lot of the data that was needed to compare a giraffe in the Washington Zoo to a giraffe in Africa and find out how pollution affected them. And but with that, he had to do so many autopsies, and he actually had to look at different stains and DNA and a lot of different things within the veterinarian field. But he also had to use humans for comparison, because humans live in the same populated areas as some of these animals, and they're exposed to the same pollution. So when it was all said and done over a 13-year period, he did 17,000 autopsies on 450 different species of animals and 3,000 on humans for comparison. And one of the things that he found out was, no matter if you are a human being, a deer, a giraffe, a cow, a horse, we have all the same diseases. If a cow or horse is calcium deficient and a human being is calcium deficient, we're going to have all the same symptoms. We're going to have the same diseases. If a cow or a horse or a sheep has digestive disorders, they're going to have the same symptoms as a human being. And so what he did was he went back and he said, okay, what is it that goes on when these things happen to these animals, and how do we cure it? And a lot of the cures, of course, you know, from ancient medicine and different things, the cures were there. And some he figured out and discovered on his own, and he's written 75 peer-reviewed articles. A lot of them are used in colleges and universities and medical schools and also in veterinarian schools. But through all of that, he said, you know what? If we can cure animals, we can give human patients what it is they need to be able to heal themselves as well. Because what are animals most of the time used for? They're used as guinea pigs. They're used as tests. And they can turn those symptoms off and on. And what's the difference? Animals, especially animals that are not wild, that are fed by someone, whether it be a domestic cat or dog, or whether it be a horse in a stable. But animals get 100% of their nutrition every day. So they take a pellet, an alfalfa pellet, that will have all of the nutrition that the animal needs, and they take it based on body weight. And then when you see them grazing on grass and hay, that stuff is just value added. But they get a supplement of nutrition every day based on their body weight. And so he said, wow, if I can do this with my human patients, I could probably do the same thing. And boy, was he right. And so back in 1968, I want to say, he reversed the first case of cystic fibrosis in a monkey at Emory Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. And when he reversed it, they kept telling him it was hereditary, and he kept telling them it's not hereditary. I can turn it off and on as I see fit. And because the system didn't want to be able to say, okay, well, there's a cure for this, they fired him. And so he then went back to school in 1968 and did everything he needed to do to become a naturopathic physician. So really, for about the last 40 years, he has been doing the same thing with his animal patients as he's been doing with his human patients and getting the same results. So this is why you get a different spin or a different slant on why this is so effective. And one of the big things that we have to do when anything attacks our body, it gets into our bloodstream. after it gets into our bloodstream, it goes to our liver. Our liver then has to filter that. Our gallbladder then has to help work with along with the liver, especially when it becomes toxic and you get stones developing in your liver, and then you get some that go over into your gallbladder called gallstones at some point once they calcify. And so plus the medication, plus all of the bacterium in the body, it ravages the liver. So then once you even start taking things, you don't get the benefit because the liver can't properly filter it. The digestive system doesn't allow it to be properly absorbed, so therefore you don't get a lot of benefit. So one of the first things you have to do is a 30-day liver detox, which is part of the system. Once you detox the liver, now you can get back to ground zero as far as health is concerned. And then because we know that a lot of the joints at times are bothered, things like Bell's palsy, all of those are fall under calcium deficiencies. The body is robbed of calcium and magnesium. The reason why you get headaches, because that's a magnesium deficiency. Vitamin D3. So there's so many different things that happens within the body that now we have to give the body the raw materials for it to heal itself. And that's part of the system. So it's not just a thing here or a thing there that's going to help you. And that's why when I hear people say that they have Lyme disease, oh, the first thing they get is the antibiotics, but after that they're kind of lost because they're going back to a lot of the same doctors that don't have this information. They already tell you that this disease is hard to diagnose and hard to fix, and that's because you go to a group of people who have no experience in the other side of it, and this is what makes Dr. Wallach's story and his testimony and his life what it is. He has a degree in animal husbandry. So, I mean, he understands it from all facets. And because of that, he's then able to put protocols together for many different things, but especially for things like Lyme's and how it affects the body and what it does when you have those issues within the body. And so this brings me to how things started to happen when I had a good conversation with a friend of mine who I hadn't talked to in 20 years. And you just generally, when you start to have a conversation with someone, you ask them, you know, how you doing? And she said, well, here you go. And she laid this out to me, and my mouth, I mean, literally had to pick my mouth up off the floor, because this is somebody back in high school. We were pretty close. You see him every day, you talk to him every day, you hang out, and just life happens after you leave school and go off to college, and everybody goes their separate ways, and so it's always so good to reconnect. But after I heard what she had been through, and then I heard her testimony, and I said, you know, this is something that has created a lane, and probably a bigger lane than there's ever been in the world of Lyme disease. And her compassion for the people that are suffering. And although she still has some symptoms and issues every now and again, her charge, her passion is to save so many of her Lyme family. And she reminds me a lot of Dr. Wallach and his mission just to save the world. And here she has a passion and a mission. And it's up to me. And I tell her this all the time. It's up to me to help you get there. And I'm dedicated and I'm committed to it. So I want to bring her on to allow her to share her story, but to also let her explain to you what she's doing and why she felt the need to join us on this mission, because the platform is large and we have what it takes to get everything squared away. And so I want her to tell her story. So right now I just want everybody to sit back, and I'm going to bring on Miss Quinn Smith, and I want her to speak to you, speak into your life, and really sow into everything that you thought, didn't think, didn't know. And this is the educator, because like I said, I can study, I can read, I can learn, but until you have the testimony, until you've gone through it, it doesn't mean much of anything. So, Quinn, I'm so glad to have you on, and you just explain to the people what it is that you tell them, your story, tell them your testimony, and really just let them hear you. I mean, you got an audience right now as big as you probably ever had. So take it away.
Okay. Thank you so much. Honestly, thank you.
Absolutely.
Wow. What a story it has been for the last couple of years. Let's see, where should I start? I was, about 10 years ago, I was having some strange symptoms. I was having some swelling, achy joints, fatigue, just some symptoms that held me back a little bit, but I was still, you know, doing life, having kids. I had two children, still going through life. At one point, I was sent to a rheumatologist who, at that point, diagnosed me with lupus and fibromyalgia. I think last time that I talked to Donald, I was telling him that it's amazing how we are taught from children that when anything happens, we run to the doctor. And we're never, ever taught that we are responsible for our own bodies and that there's different ways that we can actually heal and take care of ourselves. But, of course, at that point, I was with everybody else, and when you're sick, you go to the doctor. And so they diagnosed me with lupus and fibromyalgia, started me on steroids and, medication. I went, close to about 9 years-ish dealing with that. I was in and out of the hospital with quote-unquote lupus flares, but when I would go to the hospital, my labs, when they would take my blood, would never to the symptoms that I had. So I always thought in the back of my mind, could it be misdiagnosed? Maybe they don't know, but it's been this long. I'm not sure. Honestly, in my gut, I really truly thought that I probably had some sort of cancer or something. I knew that something was wrong, but I didn't know. I was just going along with the doctors. So I had moved to Florida for about 3 years. At the time I was in Florida, I was getting my flares were coming faster and faster, and I was ending up in the hospital more and more and more. And I knew that something wasn't right. So I came and I moved back home to Maryland to be with family and figure this out. And I was home for about 3 weeks, and I got a massive, massive migraine. And I mean, the only thing that I could do to make it go away was put a towel in a microwave and, get it really hot and wrap it around my head. It was just, and I was just kind of blacking out and seizing. Rushed me to the hospital. Believe it or not, I went 2 times. They sent me home. The third time I went, I don't even remember going. I was completely blacked out. And when I got there, thank God time, did do a spinal tap as soon as I walked in, and my white blood cell count was 650,000, which he at that point, I didn't know this then, but he had told my mother that he had never seen that high of a white blood cell count in a living person. So they got me ready, transferred me up to Baltimore to another hospital. By the time I got to Baltimore, I had bilateral Bell's palsy. My entire face had fell like a stroke. I could not talk at that point. So then they rushed me to the neuro floor, and so they were all working on me the whole time. I constantly had doctors, and they're working on me. And I, at this point, I don't really remember. I was kind of in and out, and my heart rate dropped to 32 beats a minute. And I ended up in ICU that quick. And I spent the next 10 days in ICU. During my stay in ICU, the doctor said, well, we need to find out what is killing her. And they did another spinal tap in ICU and came back and said, she's full of Lyme disease. And at that point, I didn't know anything about Lyme disease. I knew maybe if you got bit by a tick, you might get it, might not. I don't know. I just, in my mind, I thought, oh, okay, this is great. They're going to give me a little bit, a couple of antibiotics. I'll be good to go. Whew, thank God it's nothing else. Boy, did I not know what roller coaster I was on. So that was ICU. They started running multiple antibiotics at that point. Like I said, 10 days was touch and go. My parents were told, at that point, I know at least one time that I wasn't going to make it through the night. It was super scary at that point. After the 10 days, they moved me to the next floor down from ICU, and they tried to get me up. And when they went to get me up, I could no longer walk. So now, in 24 hours, I was a complete vegetable. Could not walk, could not talk. It happened that quick. And so I just didn't know. I was scared. But I was so over-medicated and just out of it. But I was scared, and I didn't know anything about Lyme, and nobody really knew what to do but what these doctors were saying. And they're pumping me full of IV antibiotics, and she'll be fine. You know, we're going to catch it. She'll be okay. Well, once I couldn't walk or talk, they sent me to the spinal cord rehab in Baltimore, and I was there for about 3 weeks with no help at all. Did not walk, did not talk those whole 3 weeks. They couldn't get any movement, nothing. So they said, you cannot take care of yourself, and neither can your family. You are too far gone. You have got to go to a nursing home. Let me just tell all you guys, at that point I was 36 years old with 2 children. And I was on my way to a nursing home. And just that thought alone was horrible. So I went to the nursing home. I ended up being in the nursing home almost 2 years, believe it or not. During my stay at the nursing home, I went all different medications, IV antibiotics. We started this. A lot of people don't know about Lyme. Once I kind of came to a little bit in the nursing home where I could actually like look it up and start studying it, I did start studying it. And I started learning that Lyme is way, way, way bigger than they even tell anybody. It's a secret. There's a lot of different reasons why they say it's a secret, but the CDC, their regulations that they have to take care of Lyme disease, one of my Lyme sisters is actually, she says it perfect, it was written by a dinosaur because it was so long ago and nobody has caught up to how to take care of this disease. And currently this disease is an epidemic. More people have Lyme disease than AIDS and breast cancer combined. 388 cases per day are being diagnosed with Lyme disease. Well, when you go to a doctor, and even if you have the tick bite and you go to the doctor will say to you, well, we're not quite sure if you have Lyme disease because we don't really have those type ticks here. So it may or may not be Lyme. And it's an ongoing war at that point. You literally, the people, and if you're listening and you have Lyme, you know exactly what I'm saying. You fight for your rights and your life when you have Lyme, because nobody knows how to treat it other than giving you antibiotics. Now, there is some doctors that will go on the natural side and, you know, start treating you with essential oils and, you know, that sort of thing. But mainly it's the antibiotics. So I started studying. I started looking up. I was so sick. At this point, during my stay, I had had a one night I had a what they said was like a mini stroke. I was sent to the ER and then sent back. During my whole stay, three times my parents were told I would not make it through the night. My mother moved back from, she was at the time, she was living in Florida. She moved back to Maryland to plan my funeral. Because the doctors just said she's just a vegetable. She's not going to come out of this. And I was, that was not good enough for me. That wasn't good enough for me. And when my mom came back from Florida, I'll never forget, she came in the room and she said, and I was completely dead. Well, you can imagine, just bedridden. I had to be every day in bed. The only time I left the bed was when they put me in a wheelchair and tried, you know, took me to the bathroom. I never left the bed most of that whole 2 years. And she came in and she said to me, if you're going to die, you're going to die fighting with everything in you because your children are watching. And I remember thinking that day, you know what? You're absolutely right. And I'm going to do anything that I can. And I started reading and I started studying and I started literally trying to find what can I do to myself. Because obviously these doctors don't really know what they're doing. And they're either trying to keep me sick because, let's just be real, sick people make more money than well people do. And so I started researching and I was in the nursing home. I started ordering things into the nursing home to start detoxing my body from all of this crap that they were putting in me, because I thought, well, let me try to do it by myself as a last resort. At one point, I was on 37 medications, and I said to them, I start bringing me down off of all this medication. I want to start cleaning myself out. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but start bringing me off of these 37 medications that I'm on. And they were adding, it seemed like every day, okay, we need to add this, we need to add this, we need to add this. And like I said, at one point it was 37. And I started researching in about, you know, like detoxing and learning how to take care of your own body and how important that your body is really a machine. And if you could take care of it and clean it out of all of the crap and the toxins and everything that you may or may not have in there that's creating all of these weird diseases and this weird stuff that's making you so sick, maybe you could just make it. And that was kind of my mindset at that point. And so I started coming off the medications. I got a foot detox machine that was sent to the nursing room. I hid all of this stuff from the nursing home staff. They had no idea what I was doing in the room because I knew that they weren't going to get along with it because they wanted me to do it their way. So I was hiding in there. I started refusing their food. I started doing meal replacement, shakes, whatever I could do nutritionally wise in the room. I ordered these sprays. They're the RNA sprays. And there are four sprays in there, the Lyme support sprays, and one of them has the silver, which acts as an antibiotic, and then the other one, it bumps up your immune system, and then there's another one that detoxes your system, and the other one is for the neuro. I guess I should rewind a little bit. I had 13 lesions on my brain because the Lyme, since I don't know, I have absolutely no clue, neither does my mom, if I was ever bit by a tick or when I was bit by a tick. Was it when I was a child and I had it all that time in my immune system? This is Lyme. If you don't know, then your body can suppress it, and then it can just come out years later, and you have no idea what you have, and these doctors don't even have any clue about what to do. And it really is a crime, this disease. It really, truly is, because you have to learn how to be your own doctor, or you're going to suffer and be deathly, deathly ill. It's the highest suicide rate disease currently. There's more people that kill themselves because they're suffering so bad with no help than any other disease currently, which just it just breaks my heart. And that's why I do what I do when I reach out is to everybody that I can and try to teach people and, you know, educate as much as I can, and I'm constantly looking too and trying to figure it out. But so I started detoxing my body in the nursing home. My mom, I would refuse their water at this point. I would not even drink their water. I was afraid what was in their water. I didn't know if it had toxins. I didn't know what was in that. My mom was spending $60 a week just on water, bottled water, to bring into the nursing home, just straight glacier water that I knew would be fine. And I just started cleaning my body out. When I went to the bathroom, I was doing it, giving myself an enema every day just to start trying to pull out toxins. I was literally desperate to live. That's the only way I can put it. I was on the verge of people telling me that I'm going to die and me refusing to die and at least saying, let me try. And so that went on for probably, this was like in October of last year, like this time last year, probably beginning of October is when I really started doing everything. And started cleaning myself out, started doing that. And my mom said, literally, it was like curtain opening. And she said, every day that I came to see you, it was like a curtain opened a little teeny bit more. And I could see a little bit more of you coming back. Just a little bit by day, by day, by day. And every day she would make me take one more step. Stand me up, I would stand up, and then one more step. And we did that for months. And then she said, you know, okay, today we're going to take a ride. And we took a ride around the block. And, you know, just every day we did a little teeny, teeny bit more. But the whole time I was refusing their meds and cleaning out my body as best as what I knew at that point. And I was discharged in December, and I am about 90% in remission currently. So I guess it's been a pretty scary ride, to be honest with you, but at the same time, it's been such an awesome, awesome learning experience, because I don't know if I would have gotten to a desperate point of learning how to really take care of your own body and to fight diseases and all of this stuff that is out here. And it's just, if you look into the stuff that we breathe and the stuff that we eat, and it's scary. And then you wonder why everybody's so sick. And it all finally made sense to me. And so, like I said, I'm like in about 90% of remission, and you know, if you really, if you find us, we have a system that we have that if the body can heal itself, you know, by first detoxing the liver, because the liver is the most important thing, because every single thing that you breathe, every single thing that you eat, every medication that you take, every single thing has to go through your liver. Now, how scary is that if you're 30, 40 years old, thinking every single thing? I mean, if you think about your body as a car and think about it as like the air filter, and driving a car for 30 or 40 years and never touching that air filter, imagine what's in that. And then you say, well, all of that stuff is going to go through your body. So once you can detox the liver and then introduce all of the 90 essential nutrients that you need, you can start training your body to get back to square one, which is what it started as, and upload the machine that it is to start healing itself. And because the medical world is going to keep giving you things that's going to keep it going, because like I said, sick people make more money for Big Pharma than well people do. So they don't really want to hear about all of this stuff. They want you to take all of their 37 pills. And I know truly in my heart and in my soul that I would not have left that nursing home had I not did what I did. I know that. I know just the nights that I laid there and prayed and talked to, I know that I was not going to make. I mean, I talked to my children about me, you know, not making it. I mean, it was a done deal. And I just refused and thought, okay, then I'm going to do this one last thing. And I'm just going to give it all I got. And I'm going to try to clean my body out of all this tea so I can fight it. And that's what I did. So I guess, you know, Lyme is so scary. Like I said, the rates of it is so scary, and they don't want to talk about it. And different states will say, oh, we don't even have Lyme here. Well, yeah, you do. And the testing, oh, my gosh, the testing is even more horrible, because even if you think that you have Lyme and you go to the doctor and they take your blood, it'll come back negative, positive, and they'll tell you, oh, no, you don't have it. Well, then you go on, and you think that you don't have it, and then you research, and then you get, like me, misdiagnosed for 10 years. Well, when you're diagnosed with lupus, they pump you full of steroids. Well, steroids feed Lyme. So for 10 years, I was feeding the Lyme, which is why it came out the way it did. But I didn't know any of that stuff. That's why I just want to educate and teach people that they don't have to suffer. They don't need to sit home and think about suicide every day, because they're absolutely dying inside and out, and they're losing their families and they're losing their homes. I currently know 3 people that are living in their car, doing treatment in their car, because they've lost everything, because not only don't not know about Lyme, but the CDC doesn't recognize chronic late stage Lyme. So unless you got bit by a tick today and went to your doctor as a acute Lyme, they may give you about 21 days of antibiotics, and that's it. Well, 21 days of antibiotics is not going to cut it, even if it wasn't acute. It will not work. You will have Lyme forever. But I didn't know any of that stuff. But I truly have learned so, so, so much, and all I want to do is just help and teach people and help people that are suffering, and they don't have to suffer. Just get your body back to square one with your diet. I don't eat gluten. I don't eat sugar. And I don't eat dairy. So I just fill up on basically vegetables and, you know, I eat other things, but that's it. I really just drink a lot of water. I drink a lot of lemon water. But I'm a true believer that I just got my body back to a point where it could fight on its own without all of that garbage that they were putting in me that was probably just killing me even faster. And thank God they never did catch me. Then one time a nurse came in the nursing home room and saw me doing the foot detox, pulling out the toxins from my feet. And she said, "Are you giving yourself a pedicure?" And I said, "Yeah." But I wasn't. I was really detoxing my body. But I just, so really, like, the whole point of this whole, oh, what was I was going to say about the, the misdiagnosis, because the testing is so horrible. So then when you get there and then you get misdiagnosed and you get most ALS, MS, lupus, most of those, if their underlying condition is probably Lyme disease. But it's not even about the condition. It really isn't. All about your body is a machine. And if you clean it and treat it right and do it right, it can get back to square one and start fighting and doing what it needs to do on its own. And you don't have to take 40 pills or 37 pills just to make it day to day. But it took me getting to literally rock bottom day to day. Am I going to live today, die tomorrow, for me to research and get so desperate to learn that? And so I don't want people to get to that point. And so that's why I'm like screaming, no, you don't have to do that. Detox your liver, get your essential vitamins in you, eat good, you know, take care of this body and you will feel better. I mean, people that have Lyme that I talk to all of the time are like amazed by this story, because I really shouldn't be here. And that's the truth. I shouldn't. I've had my last rites read to me 3 times. Where I wasn't supposed to make it through the night. So, you know, it's just, it all really comes down to you taking care of your body and how important it is to know that, forget all of, and I'm not saying that you might not ever need to go see a doctor. I'm not saying any of that. I'm really not. I'm just trying to say that you don't have to run to the doctor every time. You can't. There is things that you can do. And if you do it while you're even healthy and keep your body going, then you're even better. But whatever disease or whatever you have going on, if you get your body back to square one where it can fight itself like it's trained to do, then it will. And I am living proof of that. That it will start fighting again if you get all of the garbage out of it and start putting all the good stuff in it. And that's why I always refer to it as a car, like I just said earlier, because it's just the easiest analogy. Because, you know, if you think about driving a car for 40 years and never changing the oil, never changing the, you know, I mean, that car's not going to be running in 40 years. So, I mean, if you think about your body kind of like that, then, you know, you can take care of yourself and not have to deal with all of this craziness out here. But I have a ton of Lyme people. I'm not sure if they're all on right now. If you guys are, you know, just stay fighting and do exactly what I say. Anybody that's dealing with anything, but I know a lot of Lyme people are on or I think so. You know, and if you need me, you know how to find me through and talk to you and whatever I have to do. I just want to, like I said, scream from the mountaintop that you do not have to do this. And the nightmare that I went through, but had, like I said, had that not happened, maybe I wouldn't have learned what I learned. So, you know, everything does happen for a reason, and I truly believe that. But it was scary. I didn't have my children. I'm still on disability right now. Hopefully I will be back to work soon. But like I said, I was just discharged in December. But it's been a ride, to say the least. But the other thing with Lyme is mold exposure. And prior to when I was dealing with the lupus flares, before I knew I had Lyme, I was living in a house that had mold, and I didn't know it had mold. And I was, that's when my, it was in Florida, and that's why I was flaring. Mold and Lyme, bad, bad, bad situation. So, and, you know, then that's just another whole level of it. But as far as you're keeping your body clean and getting all that stuff out of there, then you can, you know, fight that stuff also. But I didn't know at the time that I was living in the mold, and that I was having all kinds of, that's when they said that I got most of the lesions on my brain, probably. Because I did end up going to see a, before I started taking care of myself, I found one of the best Lyme literate doctors, because the CDC with your insurance company does not recognize chronic late stage Lyme. So you have to go and see a doctor that's a Lyme literate doctor. And because there's no codes for the insurance, because the insurance doesn't recognize chronic late stage Lyme, you have to pay out of pocket to see these doctors. That's why so many people are in debt, because they've paid hundreds and hundreds of thousands and thousands of dollars to these doctors, who are the only really doctors that know anything about Lyme, just because they are truly suffering and they'll do anything to feel better. And it doesn't, you don't really, I'm not saying you don't, you may not be bad enough that you need to go there. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there's not wonderful Lyme literate doctors out there. I'm just saying that there's other ways. If you can actually work on your own body and clean it out and trying to get it back to square one, where it is a machine that it fights its own battles, it's just a positive step in your healing. So, I mean, I'm not saying any of that, because some people do need to go, but you really focus on cleaning yourself out, and then it becomes a religion at that point, because you've suffered for so long. I mean, you detox and you eat right and you this and you that, and because, you know, you don't want to be sick and you don't want to suffer anymore. And I didn't know how bad Lyme was, and maybe some of you guys don't know, but most of the people I know seize on a regular, have multiple seizures. I was having seizures, because it's neurological late stage Lyme is what it's called, because it attacks the brain, it attacks anything, any organ. But again, if you can get it back to square one, where it can fight its own battle, you have a running chance. And that's just basically how my whole preach on the whole thing. So if you do the liver detox is so important, because the liver is, you know, like I said, collects every single thing that you've ever been through. And if you can imagine, every single thing that you have ever taken is in your liver that's got to be detoxed out. and then put stuff in, and then turn your body back on to full. You'll be a whole new person, and I am proof of that. So, there you go.
There we go. That was more than there we went, we saw, we conquered with that one. I just appreciate you and your willingness to fight and continue to fight for those that don't have a voice and educate and really just harness this mission. I mean, like you say, you're definitely here for a reason, and it's no better person to give this to and this passion to get out to the world. And I'm just excited. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for those that you touch and those that you know, because now you have given them a sense of hope. You've also given them some action. And that action is, a lot of times, you know, you hear people praying all the time, and you hear the adage that, you know, people have faith, and so faith without the actual work is dead. But now we have the work, and it's not something that's going to harm you. When you look at, when you get back to the spiritual body, the Creator has put everything here for us. You pray for answers. You pray for health. You pray for a cure, whatever the case may be, and you can't expect that cure to come in a form of a prescription drug. You just can't, because that's not the way that God works. Everything
exactly.
comes from the natural state. He's put everything here for us to heal ourselves. Everything that we
exactly.
need is inside of us. We just have to go and find it. And so that's why what we do is so effective, and that's why I am so proud and glad that Quinn decided to really join to create this platform for everyone to be able to be healed. And you help one person in this amazing feeling, but imagine when it's hundreds or thousands of people, and you really become an icon for something that you survived. And there's no better feeling than that in life. There's no money that can be given to you to add up to that. There's no accolades that you can receive, but a life saved is wonderful, and it's awesome. And so before we go, I do want to say, if anybody has any questions for Quinn or even myself, if you press 1, that will cue me that you have a question, or if you want to make a comment. And if you press 1, we can take those. If not, you can always reach out to me. And Quinn will be, if you call me and you have something to do with Lyme disease, something to do with any kind of lesions, ALS, MS, whatever they may be, Quinn is like the expert and the right-hand person for that. And so we will work with you together on that. Like I said, the detox system, getting the nutrients in your body, it's really all the same thing. When you break down health, it's a baseline. It's you know, the medical system makes things seem so complicated. You are on 37 different prescriptions because you got to combat the side effects for this one prescription. You got to need a prescription for this. You got to need a prescription for that. So, therefore, it seems so complicated, but when you really get down and break down how the body works from a biochemistry aspect, all the same. And really and truly, it starts with detoxing and cleaning out and then putting the right nutrients in based on the body weight that you are to make sure you get the right amount of nutrition. Because people say, oh, well, I can really eat well. And you will eat well and you will get some benefit because you're not ingesting the bad stuff. But even in eating well, once you're done eating a salad, you don't know how much nutrition you got from that salad. You don't know if the carrots had all the beta carotene in it that you needed. You don't know if the tomatoes had all the lycopene in it that you needed. You don't know those things. And so that's why when you detox and you add nutrition, high quality nutrition to your diet, then now, just like the animal industry, just like the animals that take their supplements every day, food becomes value added. So every day when you wake up, I don't care if you're a 5-year-old, 55-year-old, or 505-year-old, if you're taking the nutrients, your body's getting everything that it needs. So that way, anything that's sent into the system that's foreign, the body can say, I know exactly what to do with it, and you enact your fighting machine. So this system is really one of the things that we've gotten. It's researched. We have videos. And so if you have any questions and you need to reach out, and Quinn will have everything that you need. She has the videos to send you. She has the protocols to send you. She has everything, because really Healing is easy.
I don't know.
We just have to make sure we give you the right information. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, I wanted to say that also. You can reach me however you want to. If you want to reach out to him and then get to me, I am 100% wide open to any questions, any kind of help I can help anybody with. Because I did forget to tell one part, because a lot of people don't know this either, but most of the time that people have Lyme, they have the co-infection too. There's about 36 co-infections that ticks and or mosquitoes. You can get all of this stuff from mosquitoes. You can get it from all different ways. And I didn't know that either, but there's co-infections, and the medical world doesn't even know about that at all. I personally had babesiosis, which is a cousin of malaria, that I had to fight that also in my fight. But so there's co-infections that go along with Lyme, but I can help you guys with that. If you have any questions about anything, please, please, please. That's what I want. I want to help and do my part. So please reach out, and I'm here for whoever needs anything. I just want to add that.
Tell them how to reach you.
You can reach me on Facebook. It's Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, or I can give you my phone number. It's 443-714-6768. You can call me whenever. I am here to help.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Quinn, I definitely appreciate you again, and, you know, we have a long road, us crazy people doing this crazy stuff, trying to help people and really help them get squared away like we talked about today. But you know what? We do it one person at a time, and we just treat it just like a family member, a child. I mean, we have to, just like I told her, we have to get you back to optimal health, and that's how I feel about everybody else. I do think we have one question. Hold on one second. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Mr. Donald. You know, this is Brenda, John's sister. And I was, Ms. Quinn, what a fantastic presentation. Thank you so much. I'd like to ask, and I'm so sorry that you endured so much, and thank God that you and Donald have, at the right time, God does everything in perfect order. It's a good thing. Very good. I'd like to ask, my daughter-in-law has been diagnosed with lupus. Is lupus still in the same, I heard you mention lupus. Is it still in some of the same category with, in the same category with Lyme?
Yes. It's, it goes along, it is one of the most misdiagnosed diseases that go with Lyme. Yes, it is.
Wow.
So if you have been diagnosed with lupus, you need to be checked for Lyme, and you can contact me. I can, like I was telling you, the testing is so ancient. If you go to your doctor today, and even if you talk him into giving you a Lyme test, because he'll give you 3,000 reasons why you don't have Lyme, but even if you did get one from it, like I said, it'll probably come back negative, positive, and then he'll tell you that you don't have it, and then you'll move on with life. But I do know a couple of labs that that we do believe in, and that, you know, they are good labs, and they come back with the true reading for Lyme and the co-infections. So if you want to contact me, or I can just say it's called Igenex. And it is a lab, and you contact them online, and they send
I'm sorry. My daughter-in-law was the one that had been diagnosed with lupus.
Yeah.
She is in Florida.
Yeah.
Are there labs in Florida?
What I would say, so she's been diagnosed with lupus?
Well, she had been treated, it's been years now, probably close to 20 years, I guess. And what they say is in remission. And I'm just wondering, I'm not sure whether she would be open to talk with you. I'll talk to her about it And then I have your telephone number. And
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I'd be happy to help any way that I can.
All right, very good. Well, Donald and John, Brian, you all are doing a fantastic job, so much that we have to learn on our own when doctors are not sure what's going on. But thank you.
It's scary.
Right. You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. John, close us out, buddy.
Okay. All right. Wonderful call. Thank you very much, Quinn. That was
You're
an
welcome.
Excellent testimony. I always enjoy it. I'm Brenda's brother that was talking to you.
Pretty well.
So thank you very much. God bless you all. And continue to jump on this line. Every week we're here on Tuesday nights. And also Dr. Wallach will be coming here in the first part of November. I think the date is I'll bring it to the next call, but I think it's the 8th. Donald, do you know when it is?
I don't have it in front of me, but
I have it in the text that came out. And he's going to be around. And also, we're going to be at a church here in Annapolis with Pastor Sims on November, hold on, just
12th?
Oh, November 12th. It's on a Sunday at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And the address is 2600 Housley, Housely Road, Annapolis, Maryland, 21401. And that 2600 is the Country Suites, Suites. And he has a room. He's going to be downstairs in the building. And that's going to be 3 o'clock on the 12th. Donald Snowden will be moderator and hosting the program. And come on by and have a wonderful time. Pastor Sims and his wife both are members of Youngevity, and he took the challenge, did the 30-day detox, and the church got a new preacher. He is fit to be tired and plenty of energy. So come on by, because we're going to have a lot of people there, and invite your family and friends and come on by and enjoy the program. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting on the call tonight. And I wish traveling mercies for all of you, whether you're home or headed home. Be careful out there in this jungle that we're going through. God bless you all. Thanks, Donald.
Thank you. And also, yes, sir, and I wanted to add one thing, that not only has Pastor Sims taken on that that challenge for himself, but he has several of his members now and his parents through his church that are detoxing their liver, seeing amazing results, weight loss results, symptoms getting a little better, and now they're getting to the point where they're ready to start introducing their nutrients into their bodies. And, you know, he's really working hard to create the first disease-free church in this country. And it's an amazing thing to be able to say, but also it's a huge undertaking, and he's taking it head on by starting with himself. And anything you do, great. If you start with you and you work out from there, you will have wonderful results. So we're just super proud of him and can't wait to get up there in November the 12th. And I like to make sure that Quinn will be there. This event is just going to be an amazing event, and I'm just so excited about it. And, you know, he's going to have other pastors that he's inviting. So that means we're reaching out to other churches. I mean, this thing has grown exponentially just in a few months. I mean, just this call in and of itself has grown. So it's really an exciting time. And like John said, you know, we all have to take charge. We all have to take the challenge. And when we come back here next week, we're going to have another exciting call. Still working on a topic, but I feel like, you know, every week we get better. Every week we have great topics that we're covering, and I'm just waiting to hear back from a few people on next week, but it's going to be another great call. Invite your friends, invite family members, people who you might feel like needed to hear this information today that didn't get on. Invite them next week. If you want them to hear this particular call, the call is recorded. So if you text me, my phone number is 919-599-0916. That's 919-599-0916. And then in your text, put Health Talk Recording. That's Health Talk Recording. Once the recording comes up, once the show is done and the recording is packaged, I will send that out to you in the form of a text message. And you can share that with other family and friends. If you need me to email it to you, just simply add your email or whatever means you want to have it delivered to you, but I'll do that. And look forward to seeing everyone plus one more on the call next week. And we just continue to push. So we love you all, and together we get better. Good night.
Donald, I have one thing I want to say before.